to remember the force field, because we're going to be talking about Zedekiah. And so that's going to be part of the teaching. And so you guys will get to see it. We thank you, Father, for those words through Christ Jesus. How wonderful is it to get to serve the living God that speaks to us, and He has time to talk to us. And then you communicate. If we're humble. I was talking to Dad. We're at a teaching. Where were we? As a church. And there's some people that they fall down upon their knees. And if Christ walked in, they would fall down on their knees. They wouldn't even see Him. They would look at His feet. Right. I like to think that's who I am now. That's not who I've always been. Then there's other people that they got Him a speed dial. Hey, if you're my God, come bail me out. Or where are you now? And there's absolutely zero reverence. It's just, no, you got to help me. And it just shows you how long-suffering, how patient Yahweh is for us. Because I used to be somebody like that, too. The only time I really called on Yahweh was when I was in deep junk. I was going to reap what I... Okay, if you help me out this time, I'll really get my life in order. But it's going to be reverence, too. Who do you fear? And so fear doesn't have to be scared. But if you're in trouble and you're stealing... There's a saying, you're going to be sweating like a whore in church. It's a good saying, actually. Repent, turn. Yeah. And this teaching is going to be stepping on toes, too. It's going to be about stepping on toes. And so you can have somebody in this life step on your toes, or you can have Yahweh step on you at the judgment. Not literally. But here it is. I don't want you stepping on my toes. You're ticking me off. You're going to go, are you ready to meet your judge? The judge. And when are we going to see Christ? I don't like what you're saying. I don't like these things. So the objective is not to make me happy, or you guys to make each other happy. Or are you ready to meet our master? And I don't think any of us are really ready. I think we're working on it. But we're getting better at it. But it's going to be the tale of three different kings and how they were... Their lives. This is a picture of Hezekiah. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 22. When Hezekiah found out that his life, and not just his life, the life that he thought it was so righteous, he had a great heart, and the things he was doing in ignorance was spitting in Yahweh's face. What did he do? Look at this guy's shirt. There's some people that do this. Their heart does that when the police siren, there's red and white lights in the, and you've been drinking and you got pulled over. Okay, I've done a lot of stupid things too. And then there's some people when they find out what they've been doing has not been honoring their Lord and their Savior, but they find out that you've been mocking Him with good intention. And look at what Hezekiah did. What a great painting. Do you see the guy reading the scroll behind him?
Josiah,
not Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a grandfather or a grandfather. So no, this is Josiah. Thank you. 2 Kings chapter 22. And I'm going to ask somebody to read the whole thing. You guys just take turns. I'm going to read a life. Bob, would you start reading it? Then we'll go to Tim and...
You want the top part too?
No.
Okay. 8 years old was Josiah when he began to reign, and 31 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jedidiah, daughter of Adiah of Bozkath. And he did that which was right in the eyes of Yahweh, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah, is it Josiah?
It's Josiah.
That the king sent Shaphan, son of Azaliah, son of Meshulam, the scribe, to the house of Yahweh, saying, go up unto Hilkiah the high priest, that he pour out the silver that hath been brought into the house of Yahweh, which the keepers of the entrance hall have gathered from the people, that they may give it into the hand of the doers of the work, who have oversight of the house of Yahweh, that they may give it to the doers of the work who are in the house of Yahweh to repair the breaches of the house, to the carpenters, to the builders, and to the masons, and to buy timber and hewn stones for repairing the house. Howbeit, there used to be no reckoning made with them as to the silver that was given into their hand, because with faithfulness were they dealing. Then said Hilkiah the high priest unto Shaphan the scribe, the book of the law have I found in the house of Yahweh. So Hilkiah delivered the book unto Shaphan, and he read it. Then came Shaphan the scribe unto the king and brought the king word again and said, Thy servants have poured out the silver that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of the doers of the work of oversight of the house of Yahweh. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, A book hath Hilkiah the priest delivered unto me. And Shaphan read it.
Okay, so how many times has Shaphan already read this before? Yes. He's read this before Josiah. When Shaphan, you're going to see what Josiah is going to do when he hears these words. Shaphan is getting ready to be a bearer of bad news. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been called to be a bearer of bad news and you were a coward and you didn't do it? Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't want to tell them. They're never going to listen to me. What's the point? Mm-hmm. They're never going to change. What is your excuse? I've done it. I've done it too. But this unsung hero was not a coward. And he gave the king a chance to change. And to confront a leader, to confront a king, how long has it been? It says 18 years. Either he's 18 years old or he's been running a kingdom for 18 years. And after 18 years, possibly he was 18 years old, either 10 years or 18, now, guess who's getting ready to get reproved? The king. How would you like to reprove a king? What happened when people reproved King Saul or some of these other people? How about Ahab? Goodbye. And so, but here's a servant who, if you love somebody, you tell them the truth, right? Yeah. Now you're going to read. Now this guy, he's already read it. Holy moly! Oh, your highness, I'm going to read you the scroll of law. We'll read it. Before I read, I got to let you know, I'm going to be stepping on your toes. Please don't get upset with me. This is from the author. I didn't write it. But if you want to be getting good light with the author of this, you need to know what he's thinking right here and right now. So then he reads it. Go ahead.
Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam son of Shaphan, and Achbor son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah, the king's servant, saying, Go ye, inquire of Yahweh for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book which hath been found. For great is the wrath of Yahweh, in that it hath fired up against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according to all which is written concerning us.
No, pause right there. We'll come back to verse 14. What's really important about this? Does he receive it? Yes. And what is King Josiah worried about? The sheep. The sheep. Israel had already been taken away. He says, our fathers had not been faithful. But wait a minute. His father was wicked. His grandfather was Manasseh. He had a good ending. Who was the father of Manasseh? Anybody know? Hezekiah. He was great. So there has been good. And this guy, how old was he when he started to become, when he became king?
Eight.
He was eight. So who taught him these ways?
His mom.
People. Adults. The religious people of his time. Mm-hmm. The seminary. When he finds out that the book of the law, he rips his clothes. Does he go take this book of the law to all the religious people who are practicing these abominations and this idolatry? Go see what they think. Is that what he did? He went, no. Why? You've already broken your trust. You're supposed to be the priests. I'm the king or whatever. What does he do? He's going to say, go find a prophet. Now, when he say, go find a prophet who's practicing the same idolatry? Right. And so what's going to happen when somebody reproves you or corrects you with the word, you're going to want to go to somebody from the same school of thought. If that same prophet or person you're going to go to for counsel, are they practicing the same idolatry? And if that's the only option you have, then fine. But wait a minute. Do you want to know their opinion? Or do you want to know the author's opinion? What did Hezekiah want to know for the people's sake? Go get a prophet. And is Yahweh going to talk to somebody who's... Where was Yahweh for 18 years? I don't know. For 10 years or 10 to 18. We don't know. But Hezekiah goes, go talk now. Verse 14.
So Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam and Achbor and Shaphan and Azariah went unto Huldah, the prophetess, wife of Shalom, son of Tikva, son of Harhath, keeper of the vestments. she having her dwelling in Jerusalem in the new city. And they spake unto her, and she said unto them, Thus saith Yahweh, God of Israel, say ye unto the man who hath sent you unto me, Thus saith Yahweh, Behold me, about to bring calamity upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read, because they have forsaken me and burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the workmanship of their hands. And so my wrath shall fire up against this place and shall not be quenched. But unto the king of Judah, who hath sent you to inquire of Yahweh, thus shall you say unto him, Thus saith Yahweh God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because tender was thy heart, and thou didst humble thyself before Yahweh when thou heardest what I had spoken against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me, therefore also I have hearkened, declareth Yahweh. For this cause, behold me about to gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered unto thy graves in peace, and so thine eyes shall not look upon all the misfortune which I am about to bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again.
And so you're going to say, King Hezekiah, his grandfather, great-grandfather, was surrounded. And you've been in a bad spot. I can think of a child's getting ready to die. Divorce. Bankruptcy. I've been there. And he had a grandfather that here it is. And here's Hezekiah. And Hezekiah fell down on his knees and put the scroll of the law in front of Yahweh. And Yahweh could work with that. And here's his great-grandson. It was neat for the people's sake. It says he wept. He tore his clothes. He fell down because he thought he was pleasing Yahweh. You'll see. And King Josiah why did Josiah practice this idolatry? He was taught it by the religious people. Wait a minute. His father reigned for like 2 years. Before his father was King Manasseh, the most wicked king of all of Judah. He did the most wicked things of ever. Child sacrifices. And he dodged a bullet. We're going to go there in a second. And they got rid of all this stuff. Right? They got rid of all the idolatry. We won't read it. You read what happened to Manasseh. And then they got rid of all the idolatry. Where did the idolatry come back? How did it come back in that quick? The people still want it. And here it goes. They got a boy king. But what did he do? In chapter 23, verse 2, in verse 1, and the king sent, and there was gathered unto him all the elders of Judah, Jerusalem, and the king went up into the house of Yahweh, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great, and he read in their ears and the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the house of Yahweh. And I have a footnote here that they believe they read Deuteronomy 28, 29, 27. Cursed, curse, curse, curse. You think you're going to get away with this? That which you sow, you're going to reap. You're going to have to deal with it unless you repent. And they would have been reading these things, and now here's the curses, the blessings and the cursings. And so what's going to happen is there was a 180 done here in Josiah, but how did he handle the reproof? By the written word. Dodge a whole bullet. What's going to happen after he dies? It's going to go back again. You know, there's these curses. There's nothing new with idolatry. Now we'll turn to John 1:1. So the teaching isn't going to be on John 1:1, but this is going to be a recent conversation I had with somebody. And in today's Christianity, modern, and this is going to be the idolatry of the modern Christians. Now, Mom, you don't go to John. Shauna, you go to John 1:1. Mom, go to John 20, verse 17. Tim, you go to Ephesians 3, 3 and 17.
1:3.
Yeah, 1:3. That's right. So that's good. Good job. 1:3 and 1:17, Ephesians. Milan, you would read 2 Corinthians 1:3. Elijah, read 2 Corinthians 11:31. And then I'll do the 1 Peter 1:3. Will you first read John 1:1?
Mm-hmm.
originally was the Word, and the Word was with Yahweh, and the Word was Yahweh.
And so you're going to read, anybody else is going to read it, just say, the Word was God, the Word was with God. Will you read the second one, too, 1:1 and 1:2?
The same was originally with God.
Okay. And what they're going to say, you're going to show a teacher, what does this John 1:1 and 1:2 mean? Mm-hmm. And they're going to come up with an explanation. This is Jesus, the Creator. Colossians 1 says the same, very similar. I didn't say that. And they go, okay, thank you. What is your idea of this scripture? Okay, and I wasn't raised this way. I didn't know people were taught this. Take that scripture, John 1:1, 1:2. Now, do a screenshot of this. You can zoom in on that. And just it should be Ephesians 1:3. It says Jesus is the Creator. It appears that way. Now read John 20:17, Mom.
John 20:17. Yahushua saith unto her, be not detaining me, for not yet have I ascended unto the Father, but be going unto my disciples, and say unto them, I am ascending unto my Father, and your Father, and my God, and your God.
Pause right there. John 1:1. You read that, you're going to go, it is also written in John 20 that Jesus has a God. Mm-hmm. After Jesus died and was resurrected, he has a God. Okay. That's just one verse. Okay, Tim, you read the next one. It's Ephesians 1:3.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Yahushua Mashiach, who hath blessed us in every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies with in Christ. And 17.
Wait, no, verse 3. 1:3.
That was 1:3.
Blessed be the God and Father, he said. Okay, sorry, God and Father.
Mm-hmm. And 1:17. That the God of our Lord Yahushua Mashiach, the Father of our glory, would give you a spirit of wisdom and understanding and gaining a spiritual knowledge of him.
There's three verses saying Jesus still has a God. If Jesus is God and he has a God, how many gods is that? That's two gods. Okay. Jesus is the Creator, and the Creator has a God. Wait a minute. Okay, now, 2 Corinthians 1:3.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and God.
Blessed be the God of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 11:31, if anybody's there.
Father. And God and Father of our Lord Jesus knoweth.
The God of our Lord. Jesus has a God. 1 Peter 1:3, does anybody have that one? I said I would do that one, right? 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You should be able to take that to any teacher or pastor and go, John 1:1. Yeah. How does that reconcile with the rest? Now, please excuse the typo. It should be Ephesians 1:3. You should be able to sit there in front of a teacher and go, what does this mean? And it shouldn't offend them. They should be able to say, what exactly does this mean? We go, wait, if Jesus has a God and he is God, that's two gods. If Jesus created everything, and that Creator has a God, what's going on here? And so what happens is you go, wait a minute. So what's happening is people they're saying one scripture and they're trying to get the whole book to conform to one scripture. Or two, maybe Colossians 1 say a similar thing. You're going to go, wait a minute, it is written. You're going to go, does that offend you? Do the scriptures offend me? So I recently got to witness to somebody. And he started with John 1:1. And he goes, it does say that. And I go, how do you... He goes, I was witnessing to a Jehovah's Witness. I took it to John 1:1. I go, okay, it does say that. I go, here, I want to show you something else about the Jehovah's Witness. He goes, what's that? I said, turn to Ephesians 1:3. He turns to Ephesians 1:3. And he read it. I said, read it again. He reads it again. I go, what is it? It says Jesus has a God. And he went, wait, he goes, no, what's going on here? You should have saw the confusion. I said, what does it say in the next verse 17? It says Jesus has a God. He went, I said, are you ready to talk to the Jehovah Witness again? And he goes, how can this be? You were never taught these scriptures? I got 13, 14 scriptures that say that. You got one. And I says, do the scriptures make you stumble? And I say that not to lift myself up, but I have stumbled over the scriptures before. And if the scriptures are making you stumble, it's not the scriptures making you stumble. It's your traditions and what you were taught. Josiah had the same thing. And somebody came to him, and you can imagine, say, Jesus has a God. Whoa! Go, go to Dallas Seminary and find out what the heck this means. No. They already blew it. These are supposed to be the teacher. The teachers can't explain this. Greetings from how many entities? So you could zoom in. Okay, I can't zoom in on that. Did it zoom in?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll flip through this as fast as we can. If you can't keep up, don't worry about it. If you're watching this, do a screenshot. You should be able to do a screenshot with this and say, how does this, these scriptures fit my understanding of who Jesus Christ is? And if this number of scriptures confuses the heck out of me and pulls the rug out from underneath me, what does it say about my understanding? What does it say about my belief? Are you on a good foundation? And they'll go, I have one scripture that says something different. And they'll say, you're going to go, wait a minute, the book of Job is a whole book. You don't reconcile all the 66, or it's not 66, but people say it is. Romans 1:7, somebody's there.
Yeah,
please.
Unto all that are in Rome, beloved of Yahweh, called saints, favor unto you and peace from Yahweh our Father and our Lord Yahushua Mashiach.
As greetings to how many entities?
Two.
Not one. Not three in one. Two. Two entities after the resurrection. It should be blessed to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Right? It doesn't. It says two. 1 Corinthians 1:3. See, I call this like the 1:3 test. The next book, 1 Corinthians 1:3. This is what the Apostle Paul was writing. Well, he wasn't writing. He was penning it. Can somebody read 1 Corinthians 1:3?
Favor unto you and peace from God our Father and Lord Yahushua Mashiach.
How many entities?
Two.
And then I think also verse 3.
I give thanks unto my God or my Elohim at all times concerning you by reason...
No, that's it. Just one. Sorry. That's right. The Lord Jesus Christ, okay? And then we'll turn to Galatians 1:3. So just go to all the church epistles. Just go to the very beginning. I should have been 2 Corinthians 1:2.
Yes.
1:2 and 3. 2 Corinthians 1, 2, and 3. You guys there? Favor unto you and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Nope.
No? From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We just read that again. We're going, wait a minute. My theology. What's happening here? 2 Corinthians. Just turn right to the next book, 2 Corinthians. We're going to go to Galatians 1, 3. Somebody read that.
Favor unto you and peace from Yahweh our Father and Lord Yahushua Mashiach.
How many is that?
Two.
One or is it two? Or three? There's not three there. There's not one there.
Two.
Galatians, go to Ephesians. We already read Ephesians 1:3. How many did it say? God, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ is Ephesians 1:2. And then 1:3 says Jesus has a God. Two. Not three. Two. And anybody who's been to seminary, been in a Bible college, what I'm doing right now, you know what you're doing? You're ripping your religious clothing, going, you are speaking blasphemy. And you know what happened to Josiah when they read Deuteronomy 28 to all the people? Do you know what the religious people would have been doing then? Josiah, shut that book up! Look what you're doing, Josiah! Josiah goes, I can either reconcile my life to you religious people who taught me wrong for 18 years, or I can get my mind right with the judge who I'm going to meet someday. And King Josiah was a steward of all of Judah. Israel had already been carried away from their idolatry. It would have been 10 years, and what did he do? But I guarantee the religious people at his time ripped their clothes. Not because they were wrong with Yahweh, but because their doctrines are being torn away, eating with unwashed hands. Ephesians 1:3, Ephesians, Philippians 1:2. Favor unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's 1:2. Philippians, turn to the next one. Colossians 1:3. We are giving thanks unto God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. 1:2. I guess we're going next. 1 Thessalonians. Just each book. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Unceasingly remember your work of faith and labor of love and endurance of the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ before God and Father. before God and Father. Entity 2. 1, 2. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 2. Actually, you do 1, 1 and 2. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy and the assembly of Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. 2, verse 2. Favor unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, did the apostle Paul know there's 3 in 1?
Apparently not.
Chapter and verse, we look at this and you go, not to elevate anybody, not to put anybody down. You're going to go, is what you're teaching offending your Creator? The one who you say you're so affectionate for, does it align with the Scriptures? And if it doesn't align with the Scriptures, you can say, could this be 2 Timothy? Let's see here. Oh, actually, as long as we're in 1 Timothy, you can just go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God, one mediator also between God and man, a man, Christ Jesus. And it also says in Galatians, you cannot have a mediator between one.
Yeah.
A mediator comes in between two parties. Jesus Christ is mediating between Yahweh and His creation. Here's Jesus Christ. That's why He's seated at the right hand. We're looking at this thing going, holy moly. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy 1, 2. Unto Timothy, my beloved child, favor, mercy, peace from God our Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. 2. 2 Timothy... Titus 1, 4, favor and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. And you're going to go, you read these scriptures in this order, pastors are going to rip their clothes. It could. I hope they rip them for the right reason. They're a boss that we think that we're serving. And I've been there. I've been absolutely 180 degrees the wrong direction. Thought I was serving somebody. But it could be, does Yahweh want your affection or does He want reverence? Reverence. Reverence. It is written. And if you've never read the whole Bible, are you kidding me? You think you love Him? I just got a letter written to me from Germany from a very good friend of mine. What if I told her I hadn't finished reading it? What if I lied to her and told her I read the whole thing and I didn't read it? Are you kidding me? You didn't even read it? Well, I don't have enough time. We're all going to go before Jesus Christ and somebody's going to have their doctrine or whatever and go, you never even read His book. Well, nobody else reads it. Well, that's between them and their judge. Philemon 1:3, favor unto you, peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't happen in Hebrews. We need church epistles, but then you skip it all over. James 1:1, 1 Peter 1:3, 2 Peter 1:3 and 3:2, I believe. 2 John 1:3, Jude 1:1. Turn to Revelation 1:1. Revelation 1:1. You're going to go, holy moly, man! You are. I remember my father read that Ephesians 1:3 once to somebody at a Christian festival. They wanted to kick us out because Dad says it says Jesus has a God right here. They're like, he goes, it says it right here. You can't say that! You can't say that! He goes, dude. And here's Revelation. It's the conclusion of the book. 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. 2, not 3. Revelation 3:21. He that overcometh, I will give unto him to take his seat with me in my throne, as I also overcame and took my seat with my Father and his throne. 2. Revelation 22:1, here's the conclusion. And the teaching is not on John 1:1. The teaching is not going to be on Trinity or 3-in-1. Because it does say one time in the whole Bible, go baptize in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. One time. Was it ever done? Not once. Not in the book of Acts. In Acts 2, when they went to Peter and said, what must we do? He says, go be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. No. Yeah. He said, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You're going to go, it is also written. We look at these things. Who has done this? Revelation chapter 22, verse 1. And he pointed out to me a river of water of life, bright as crystal, issuing forth out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the broad, we go all the way down to verse 3. And no curse shall there be any more, the throne of God and the Lamb. 2. It's about a Father and a Son. And His creation, and His Son, the second Adam, reuniting things. you read those scriptures and you don't have to say anything. And if you say, don't bring up words that are in the Bible, like pre-incarnate or God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're not in the Bible. Let's just talk about these scriptures. Can we talk about these scriptures and a doctrine and just discuss them? And if we can't, you're going to go, I know what will happen if you do discuss it, though. You know what's going to happen? You're going to get rejected by men. And what did Hezekiah do? He's going to go, So when we look at some of these scriptures, we're going to go, do these scriptures offend you? And if the scriptures offend us, what's going on here? I see here, I wrote down, there's three, not three in one. I'm sorry, there's not three in one, or three entities, but there's two. And John Lenn coined a phrase, the dynamic duo. That we shouldn't let any word that's not in here become a fulcrum or a foundation of our life, that if anybody questions it, we fall off it. We go, blasphemy! Run away! Is that a good foundation? You can't argue your position. So even the dynamic duo, don't even call it. But if there was one, Trinity is not in here. It would be a dynamic duo. And so, I don't like that. So you can't say dynamic. Oh, you can say Trinity. Why can't you say dynamic duo? But the thing is, not to get off the target. If the scriptures offend you, who are you offending? You can look at several scriptures like that, and if that offends you, who are you offending? The author of the scriptures. Let the author interpret his opinion. He's already written things. And if these things make you go, I don't even know if I can be friends with you anymore. Well, you might lose this relationship or that relationship, but you shouldn't be worried about this relationship. It's this one that you think's rock solid. You've never even read his word, or you didn't look at it. Then we all have a chance to change. We're going to turn to Jeremiah 38, because this is going to be a lesson from Zedekiah. Zedekiah was after Josiah. So Josiah rips his garments and gets rid of all the idolatry, and it looks like everything's been cleaned up. And then his grandson later on, I believe, is the last king of Judah. In Jeremiah 38, verse, let's see here.
4?
Yeah, 759. But, you know, the thing should be with anybody, we should be able to discuss the scriptures with pastors. You have a PhD in theology. Can we discuss this? And you and I found how many would actually discuss these scriptures? Zero. You know what they do? Name call. You know how you know when you win an argument? When they call you a name. And it's not to win an argument with me. They'll name call and they won't discuss it. Then they call you a name. They say you're not a Christian, you're a heretic. You're out. I'm going to go. Zedekiah, chapter 38, verse 4. Zedekiah was being approached by a prophet.
Jeremiah?
Yeah. Zedekiah was being approached by a prophet named Jeremiah. It's in the book. That's okay. I'm making a lot of slips like that. I already have some of my errors in print. The prophet Jeremiah is going to the king, Zedekiah, who came after Josiah. And Jeremiah goes, you guys are all in big trouble. Repent, 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 repent. Didn't you see what happened to Israel? Now your sins are even worse than Judah. You can imagine Jeremiah. Nobody's going to listen. How many people followed Jeremiah? He had Barak. He had one scribe. We look at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We have 9 people in here. Jeremiah, how many did he have? One, two, maybe? What's the point of witnessing? They're not going to listen. They're not going to turn. Jeremiah comes to Zedekiah, and Zedekiah says in verse 4. Well, he doesn't say this in verse 4. Here's what the peer pressure is coming on Zedekiah. Verse 4. Then said the princes unto the king, let this man, we pray thee, be put to death. Jeremiah is saying, get rid of your idolatry. Get rid of all your other gods. Get rid of this stuff. And you won't be carried away. Actually, I believe at this point, they're going to be carried away. And Yahweh's saying it's too late. If you want to keep your life, surrender. What does Zedekiah's princess say? Kill the messenger. Turn to verse 15. it's too late. You ever seen that with somebody? I see some people that they've committed murder, and then they give their lives to Jesus Christ. They get saved.
It's too late.
Well, it's too late in this life. You killed somebody. You need to die. It's their life. But it's too late. And in this case, he's going, if you want to keep your life surrendered to Nebuchadnezzar, and they're saying, no, don't do it. Verse 15, then said Jeremiah to Zedekiah. So Zedekiah is coming back to Jeremiah, poor Jeremiah. He's asking for counsel. Are you kidding me? You guys had me in the dungeon with Prithesis. You lowered me in there. Now you want me to tell you the truth again? He's coming back to him. Have you ever had somebody you're witnessing to? And they're coming back to you again. I'm going, eh. But he doesn't. And he says, I'll tell thee. Verse 15. Then said Jeremiah to Zedekiah, when I tell thee, wilt thou not surely put me to death? And when I counsel thee, wilt thou not hearken to me? Zedekiah goes, I won't. So King Zedekiah swore unto Jeremiah.
Secretly.
Still ashamed by the life of Yahweh. In verse 19. Then said King Zedekiah to Jeremiah. What's he say? I am afraid of the Jews. Zedekiah goes, if I do what you say, the Jews are going to kill me. The prince is going to kill me. A pastor says, if I show that Jesus has a God, I will lose my church. I'll be thrown out just like the Seventh-day Witnesses and the Jehovah Witnesses. I'll be one of those people. Well, that could be good company. I think about my friends, some of the Catholics have been praying to Mary their whole life. You're going to go, hey, what's the point of telling them you can't pray to an image? You just give them a shot. If they don't want it, that's one thing, but still they're going to go, they're going to need Jesus Christ one day. He goes, you're not supposed to be praying to an image of my dead mom. Verse 20, but Jeremiah said, they shall not deliver thee. Verse 20. So King Zedekiah is worried what's going to happen to him. Jeremiah said, they shall not deliver thee. Hearken, I pray thee, to the voice of Yahweh in what I am speaking to thee. Jeremiah says, you'll live. The prophecy is surrender, and you guys will all live. Give up the land. So basically, the landlord who owns Judah says, repo time. Oh, we'll change. Too late. You want to live? You can live. Surrender. We will not surrender. Then it's time to pay the piper. But what you guys know what Zedekiah did? Chronicles chapter 25, page 410. So with Jeremiah the prophet, he was being confronted by the written word, and I guess it might be the living word at that point. And what did he do? Oh, I don't know what to do. But all these people are saying, how could one Jeremiah be right when all a seminary and all Christendom say just the opposite? Jeremiah's like, you hear that? It's the clanking of swords. Chariots are coming. And we're going to find out what happened to old Zedekiah, chapter 25, verse 7. It said 410.
Yeah.
Is it 457?
I'm sorry?
457.
It's 457?
Second Chronicles 25:7.
Let's see.
Maybe that's a 257. Oh, wait, no.
That's 25. Mm-mm. No, I wrote it down wrong. Second Kings. Let's try that out.
Second Kings.
Yeah, it's Second Kings of that one.
So it's the right page.
Let's try that.
Is it 410 then?
Yeah, 3 pages is right. Second Kings chapter 25.
Verse 7.
Zedekiah does not listen to Jeremiah. And would somebody read verse 7?
And the sons of Zedekiah they slew before his eyes. And the eyes of Zedekiah put they out. And then bound him with fetters of bronze and brought him into Babylon.
So what happened to Zedekiah? He watched his sons be put to death. Why did his sons die?
Because of him.
Him. What did you do, Zedekiah? Well, the peer pressure, the prince is going to kill me. What did Yahweh tell you? You can obey me, you can honor me. Well, they're going to kill me. Do whatever you want to do. You have your reward, Zedekiah. What's the last thing Zedekiah saw? His sons died because of his sin. It's the last thing he saw. Can you imagine that? Rebellion, rebellion, rebellion. What's the last thing you're going to see? What's the last thing I'm going to see? When's Christ going to come back? Do we have gods in our lives? Fake gods, images. But in this picture, it shows Zedekiah's two sons have just been dead, and now they're getting ready to poke out his eyes. It's real famous. He was warned, and Yahweh kept it in print. I warned you guys. Well, Zedekiah was just doing what all the other people were doing. You just keep these things, and you tick tock, tick tock. That's what you sow, you'll reap. And Yahweh sent prophets. Manasseh, 2 Kings 21. See, underneath Josiah. I don't know if we'll have time to go there. But Manasseh, I'm glad I can zoom in like that. You see that right there, guys? Do you know how old Manasseh was when he became king?
12.
He was 12 years old. Where did he learn how to become a king? His advisors. He was taught. In 2 Kings 21, he becomes a king. And what did he do? How did he know about Yahweh? What was taught him? And do you know what happens? 50 years he reigns. For 50 years. And then, you don't see it in Kings, but in Chronicles, you know what happens? He gets carried away. He had hooks put into him. And do you know what he does? He appeals to Yahweh. Actually, it'd be nice to go. Did I have 2 Chronicles on there? I don't think I put it on there. Yeah, but in 2 Chronicles, it says he repented. And then he says, and then he learned that Yahweh was his Elohim. And then you know what he did? He cut down all the high places and he got rid of stuff. This is the guy, the sons of Manasseh, the most famous king of all Judah for bad reasons. They had babies passing through the fire. Child sacrifice. All of, why did he do this thing? It's what the itching ears and the people wanted. So they gave him what they wanted. But Manasseh repented at the very end of his life and he dodged a bullet. And the reason why I believe he did this is, you know what I think he was thinking about right here? You're being carried away, the hooks in your nose. What do you think he's thinking about?
Yeah.
Hurts.
Tick tock. Now I'm going to die.
Yeah.
How ready are you to die? Because Manasseh, you're getting ready to meet your judge. Well, I guess this is it. Better start getting ready for my court date. And what did he do? He turned.
Yeah.
At the last second, and you know what happened? His grandson Josiah, just 2 years, two generations later, Josiah, 18 years into his reign, or for 10 years, and he goes, what the heck? All this stuff we're doing is insulting our God. He's going to thump us with a hammer. We never read Deuteronomy 28. What are the odds? You never read the curses. And here it was, but Josiah turns.
It's 2 Chronicles 33:12 is when Manasseh.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, 33, yeah, 9, yeah. So I just got ahead of myself with the scriptures. Very good.
Oh, huh. Manasseh
repents before meeting Yahweh. That's my opinion. He's getting ready to meet Yahweh. When you die, you go to sleep. And at the resurrection, you're going to meet Yahweh's judge. Who's going to be the judge? Jesus Christ is going to be the judge. You're going to be getting ready to meet him. And I believe that's what he was doing. He was just getting his house in order. Josiah would have known this story. And when can you imagine Josiah hearing the stories of his father, grandfather, going, what happened to him? Oh my goodness, can you imagine how bad it would have been? You hear about somebody hitting rock bottom. I watched the movie Johnny Cash and went, yikes, right? If that was your grandfather, would you want to not learn the same lesson? And I believe Josiah, when he read that, he was going, holy moly, I don't want to learn that lesson. But the neat thing is Josiah didn't wait until things got really bad to turn. But thank you, Sean. 2 Chronicles chapter 33. Things were about to get really horrible for Josiah, dodges a bullet. So then the question is, who taught the 12-year-old Manasseh? Seminary. Who taught the 8-year-old Josiah? The religious people. And the thing was, is that when Josiah turns, and actually when Manasseh turns, he cuts all the stuff down, guess who wanted to kill him? The religious people. Yeah, then once he dies, good, then he got right back in there again. Here it goes, over and over again. So who are you going to kneel before in this life? Are you going to kneel before people in seminary? Are you going to kneel before Dallas Seminary or Joel Olstein or Andrew Womack or Victor Paul Werwell? Are you going to kneel before who? Who are you going to kneel before? Because in this life, I think it was the Rolling Stones, you've got to serve somebody. Romans 6 says, whoever you serve, you're a slave to. And if you're not a slave to the scriptures, you're slaves to other things. But who are you, so the princes of your time, Zedekiah kneeled to the princes, and what happened? His end is horrible. And does it say Zedekiah turned? Not that I'm aware of. We don't know what happened to Zedekiah. Golly, he's supposed to be the king of Judah. Manasseh got his house in order. Embarrassing. How would you like all your dirty laundry in print like that, right? Zedekiah got his, never got his. Zedekiah was Josiah's grandson or great grandson. Yeah. Holy moly, you kidding me? You didn't learn any lesson, did you? No. Why? He feared the religious people. Nebuchadnezzar, what happened to Nebuchadnezzar? Talk about being humbled. 7 years.
Oh, yeah.
Eating like an ox. Hair grows, and I bet you he was naked. Hair's like eagle feathers, claws. What happens until he finally goes, he got ready to meet his maker. And he looked at his knee because it says he looked up, and then I looked up, and here's Yahweh restored him back. King Saul, did he get ready to meet his maker? No. He had his reward. Solomon did not. He had his reward. How about Saul before he came Paul? Yeah. That was a come to Jesus meeting, literally. If we show these scriptures, it's not just John 1:1, but it should be also be if somebody shows us several clear scriptures that blow up our idea of who Christ is and who Yahweh is. See, there's only one way to salvation, and it's Jesus Christ. He's the avenue to the Father, Yahweh. But if somebody can show all these clear scriptures, what will happen? You're going to go, man, people are going to hate me for that. Yeah, but one day you're going to go before Jesus Christ. And I love this judgment. Now, angels... how many times do angels have wings in the Bible? One time. Angels look like men. How many times do they look like women in the Bible?
One.
It just says hair like women. Didn't say they're women. As far as messengers, if anything, now there's exceptions of what Daniel saw. There's some exceptions to the rules. But I think artists put wings on there so you know exactly what they're trying to communicate. So in these cases, what's behind the messenger in this man in a suit? It's the Ten Commandments. Are you loving your neighbor as yourself? Are you honoring your mother and your father? Are you coveting thy neighbor's goods? Do you have images of your God? If Jesus is the Creator and you have images of Him, you've broken the first and second commandment. You go, I am Yahweh, thy Elohim. You should not have any other Elohims. If Jesus is the God, He's the image, you made an image of Him. You can't have an image of Him. If God the Holy Spirit is a part of the Creator, you can't make an image of Him. You've broken the second commandment. The first commandment, you don't have any other God beside me. And we look at that and go, is there any problem with making the image of Jesus though? No, because He's the Son of God. There's no problems with that. But we look at that and go, we'll be judged. And it's going to be, it is written. And how do you handle it? Galatians 1:6 through 9. What does it say in Galatians 6 through 9? It says, if anybody adds to these writings, if anybody adds anything to it, what happens to them?
It's a curse.
It's a curse, just like Deuteronomy 28. When we read what happened to Hezekiah and we believe he read Deuteronomy 28 and 29 to the people, hey people, you're cursed! You're going to get smashed just like Israel. Is that what you want? You want your children to be sold in, your daughters sold into slavery, your sons to be made eunuchs? Is that what you want?
No.
And then we read here in Galatians 6:1-6, it says, if you add to this doctrine, you're cursed. And then we go, holy moly, a new Jesus, another... but anyways, and then as we look at some of those things, we gotta go, man, would you want to tell your teacher about these scriptures? Probably not. But what does it say in James 3:1? One reason why I never wanted to teach the word. A higher accountability are teachers. If you have a teacher you love and you don't give them a chance by showing them scriptures, do you love them? When are they going to meet this judge, Christ Jesus? And you're teaching idolatry or doctrines of men? You got something, you're going to go, you're supposed to be a teacher. Well, why don't you read? We should be able to read those scriptures, pray about it, come back and discuss it. And if somebody rips their shirt, go, I had no idea. You know how costly this is going to be? I'll lose all my diplomas. I'll lose my church. You're going to go, but what would you gain? What did Manasseh gain? What did Josiah gain? Where's your reward? Is it in the congregations on this earth to have more and more friends to blend in? Is that your reward? Or is it getting ready to honor your Lord and your Savior? You're going to go, man, I just don't want to be spitting in his face. I love you. I love you. I'll do anything I say. Did you read my love letter? No, but I love you. You're going to meet him someday. Conclusion, are you currently offending your God? Are you offending the God you say you love? Are you? Somebody should be able to show scriptures and say, are you offending him? You look at this and go, Aaron, you are offending me with scriptures, which probably means you are offending the same God that you say you're affectionate to. Acts chapter 7, verse 52, we'll conclude there. Because Stephen is a very unique situation. Page 126, 127. Stephen starts speaking, talking about a shooting star. It starts in chapter 6, verse 8. Stephen stirs up opposition. Who is he talking to? Verse 7. Here's all the religious leaders. He starts speaking to them. Verse 52, and he starts concluding, he starts getting really fired up. Who's he talking to? The hypocrites. Hypocrites. What did Jesus Christ call them? Hypocrites. You say you love Yahweh and you throw away his word. Hypocrites. You say you love Yahweh and you hang on to words that aren't even in the Bible, like Trinity, pre-incarnate, God the Son, not in here. And Stephen started calling these things out in verse 52. Which of the prophets did your fathers persecute? Yea, they slew them who declared beforehand concerning the coming of the righteous one. We just read about, Zedekiah. And verse 54, when they're hearing these things, they were being pierced to their hearts and began gnashing their teeth against him. But he, being already full of the Ruach Kodesh, looking steadfastly into heaven, saw the glory. He saw God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. What did he see?
Glory of Yahweh.
Did he see Yahweh?
Yep.
No. He saw the glory of Yahweh. And then what did he see? Jesus Christ or Yehoshua standing where?
On the right hand.
How many are there?
Two.
Who did Stephen fear? Man?
Nope.
Religious people?
Yeah.
Or the judge he was going to meet? Now, I believe Stephen missed it. I don't see the purpose of his premature death. I think he's supposed to zip it. I think it was a time he was gone. Keep your mouth shut, don't say it. What he said, was it right? Yes. But I believe that's why it cost him his life. That's my own opinion. I could be completely wrong with that. But what did he do? It cost him his life. And even if it costs you your life, Yahweh doesn't want any of us to die prematurely. But who are you going to fear? And what did Jesus Christ do? He feared Jesus Christ. He saw an image. And even when you say this right here, what Stephen saw, that's blasphemy to the church today.
Yeah.
Going to go, no. But anyways, did he see the three in one? No. Did he see one? No. And so the objective is going to be, which king are you when you're confronted with the scriptures? This should be all of us. Are you King Zedekiah? Were your children going to die right in front of you? Are you a Josiah when you find out you're offending your God? Or a Manasseh? A Manasseh is better than Zedekiah. At least he turned. And that's what we got to do. And what's your excuse? What's my excuse? Zedekiah, Manasseh, and Josiah were all taught wrong doctrine. But when they were confronted, what did they do? You know, a tree bites fruit. Father, we thank you for these words and we thank you for the teaching. Do not be fearful of the persecution of man. For in the book of Jeremiah, the prophet told the king, do not fear them. You will have your life if you do what I told you to do. Zedekiah did not believe it. He thought it was going to cost him his life if he obeyed. Obedience, obedience, obedience. It is written. There is a way out. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There is no trial that man has gone through that is not common to man. Yahweh is faithful. He always gives you a way out. Right now, you look at these scriptures and you're wondering, I can't do this. How can you say this? I can't do that. Right now, old man, your flesh is saying, I can't deal with this. I can't do this. There's always a way out. And he's already showed you the way. The way is the word. Get in the word and get delivered. Amen.